Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you for that time of worship and just coming before you. And yes, Lord God, we know that you love us. Let's just, as Prue led us, just acknowledge that in our heart. God loves us. God loves you. God loves me. And Father, we love you back. Help us, Lord God, in and through this amazing relationship we have with the God of all creation, the God that is and was and always will be. What a mighty God. Father, as we open your word today, may it speak to us. May it be that double-edged sword, Lord God. Speak into our hearts, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just for those who are visiting today, great to have you with us. Just to give you my name. My name is Donald George Johnson.
Reverend.
I'm getting to that. Thank you, Brendan. Most of you know me as Donnie. It's a very shortened title. And Donnie was bestowed upon me by my mum. And she bestowed that upon me by yelling my name throughout the neighbourhood. I was the oldest of my younger brothers, and I think, how many people are the oldest in their families?
Yeah.
Yep. Did you guys get in trouble more than the others?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a go-to, isn't it? Something happens and it's Donnie's fault. Now, we played cricket in the backyard all the time, and to the right of the wickets as a right-hander was Mum's favourite rose bush. And if you snicked the ball into the rose bush, guess what? You were out. You were out, which is great for me as I actually became a big-time cricketer. I never got caught in the slips because I never wanted to be belted by my mum for snicking it into the roses. All right, but you're always out if it went to the roses. But any time Mum come out into the backyard and there was a rose off the rose bush, Donnie, it was always my fault. No, it wasn't me. It was Paul who lives three houses down. He's gone. He's left. He knows the penalty of hitting the ball. Not only are you out, but you run for your life from Mrs. Johnson. I was the eldest. It was always my responsibility. That's it. You copped it? Okay. All right. People are feeling my pain. We're having a prayer time afterwards, Pamela. We're going to get that all dealt with. But my name is Donald George Johnson. Big, long name, full of great superlatives. And yes, I have got some titles. There is one reverend bestowed upon me by the Baptist Church in Queensland. And because you guys, through the leadership team, did a lot of work to enable that to take place. So thank you, the Reverend Donald Johnson. But I have other titles. I am Dad. And I really like that title. That's a really good title, Dad. I'm also husband. I like that one, although Cynthia doesn't often call me husband. Yeah, usually if I'm in trouble, I get maybe husband. But usually then it's Donnie! The echoes through the streets. But no, normally she'll call me hubby. I won't tell you the other superlatives that go with it. That's just not right. But yeah, hubby. She calls me hubby. All right, so I've got all those different titles, but you guys know me as Donnie, and we're mates, we're friends, we're pastor and people, and it's just that amazing relationship we get to have because it's a relationship. You know, the word Donnie, apparently in the UK, anyone from the UK? Yes. Have you heard of the word Donnie in the UK? No. Well, I was told this around Christmas time, around my birthday, that the word Donnie is often used in some parts of the UK, like this sort of phrase. See that bloke? He's my Donnie. Well, the UK is a mixed match of everything, isn't it? He's my Donnie. It's like he's my mate. Do you use the word mate in the UK? They do. Well, I was told they don't. People are lying to me all over the place. A mate's apparently an Australian thing. But yeah, so Donnie is like a mate. He's my Donnie. He's my mate. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm your Donnie. I'm your mate. I want to go back a little bit further. There's another name that we all know, but we know it in a different way. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You see, once upon a time, the name of Jesus in the certain household that we're talking about, where he was the son, the eldest son, by the way. I wonder if he got in trouble. I wonder if Mary ever went into his room and said, Jesus, what, were you born in a barn? Look at this place. I'm glad you laughed. I'm going to not do them anymore this year. That's it. Last one. You like that one? No, very good. Yeah, thank you. I got more laughs out of you liking it than I did out of the joke. But anyway. But Jesus, growing up, I wonder how it was worked. I wonder if Jesus' name was screeched throughout the streets of Nazareth by Mary. I wonder. Jesus, growing up with his brothers and sisters, they used the name Jesus different to how we use it, don't you think? There was a different relationship. There was a different aspect. But Jesus was still Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that was sent by God, the Son of God, the Son of God, who lived and died and rose again and went to the right hand of the Father, so that we could be in this amazing relationship with God the Father. But even more than that, that he might, at the day of Pentecost, pour out his Spirit, Jesus' Spirit. We call it the Holy Spirit. If it's a Spirit of God, guess what? It's a Holy Spirit. It's holy. Sends out the Holy Spirit so that all men, women, boys and girls may be filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to live life in the power of God. How cool is that? So not only did Jesus come and live an amazing life, incredible stories, only of which we only have a few, because all the writers say there's so many more stories about Jesus and all the things that he did. But we only have a few that gives us an idea, a picture of who this amazing man was, the Son of God. But he went so that we can all be empowered. Because those that walked with Jesus, Jesus could only be with them at that time. Is that right? You know, he couldn't be all over the world like he can now. He can be working in Malawi, which, by the way, he is. And please pray for Tim Mamel. They've had some disturbances in the last week and some curses have been poured out upon them from the tribal people around them. And all the tribal people are seeing that there's two owls perched in a tree. They've just turned up from nowhere. And apparently if you have two owls perched in a tree over your house, you've been cursed. And so they're praying and getting rid of the curses that have been on them. But that's over in Malawi. But that God's working there just as he is here as well. And it's very important for us to know. We have a big God, a God that wants to do amazing and incredible things in and through our lives. We at Kiwanis Life are working through a few things that we want to encourage you with in 2020. Last week we briefly went through repentance and forgiveness and gratitude, and the week before that we went through some other things that were very important for us to clock into our lives so that we can continue to walk in an amazing way in 2020, because we want us all to be able to experience more of God. Anyone want to experience more God in 2020? I'm keen. I want more of God in 2020 than I had in 2019, and I had a pretty good year in 2019 when it came to prayer and that sort of stuff, but I want to go further on in God, more of what he wants for me and more of what he's got in store for me. I want to share with you a story from a guy called Andrew Murray. Some of you may have heard of Andrew Murray. Yep, no, Andrew Murray, yep. Sorry?
Tennis player.
Oh, he is too. Yeah, no, not him. Andrew Murray, who wrote lots of stuff on prayer and started a whole movement on prayer. Anyone ever heard of the Hour of Power? Yes, that's Andrew Murray. Praying 1 hour a day. Could you not pray 1 hour with me? That's Andrew Murray. Brings all that sort of stuff up. Challenges us to get into the Word and prayer and worship 1 hour a day. Get into it. First thing in the day. That's Andrew Murray. He written tons of stuff. This is what he says. Oh, Christian, you will find the secret of happiness and holiness in fellowship with Jesus each day. Your heart will long for the hour of prayer as the best hour of your day. As you learn to take time to be alone with him each day, you will experience his presence, enabling you to love him and to serve him and to walk in his ways throughout the day. Through this unbroken fellowship, you will learn the secret of the power to a truly godly life. There's some wisdom there, isn't there? Andrew Murray knew the secret of being in that prayer space, of going to prayer, first and foremost, going to prayer. And one of the things for today is we want you to be able to walk in the presence of God in everything that you do this year. Whether you're here at church, leading worship, preaching, running ministries, or whether you're going with coffee chaplaincy, we definitely want you walking in the presence of God in that place. And that it just does what you testified to today. We want more of that in 2020. Amen? All right. We want it in your workplaces, in your schools, and through everything that you're doing. The presence of God is with you because he never leaves us nor forsakes us, correct? Wherever the two or three gather together, he's in the midst of us. When we sing his praises, he's in the midst of us. We've asked him into our lives. He walks and talks with us in and through all that we do. And all of what we do to God is sacred. It's not secular. If you think you have a secular job, let me change your mind there. You have a sacred job because God is at work in and through that place. And God loves all the people that work in that space. He loves them. And he's placed you there specifically to do an amazing work in their lives. And this is what Andrew Murray says about this. Oh, Christian, that you will find the secret of happiness and holiness in that fellowship with God, which will enable you, when you're into these places, to see God do things that are amazing. I want to share with you a story that happened to me on Monday. I did a different day Monday. I didn't come into here. I worked from home and went for a few prayer walks and just praying into some stuff. And in one of those prayer times, a person's name was dropped into my heart and I felt heavy for them, so I prayed for them. And after I prayed for them, it was still something there. So I texted them. I didn't ring them, but I texted them. And straight away, this guy works and he works really hard. Straight away, he got back to me. And he said, oh, Donnie, you would not believe how timely that text message is. I've been thinking about you, and mate, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. And then he went on in the next three or four text messages to share where he is at right now and the journey he's been on in 2019. We hadn't talked much last year apart from maybe going, go Queenslander, and that was about it. But this year, he's already opened up. Now, there's the work of the Holy Spirit right there. Dropped a name into my heart and contacted them, and hey, guess what? Connection, relationship, boom, prayer life. He's now on my prayer list and we're going to catch up again soon. God can do that. Now, some of you will look at me and go, yeah, of course, Donnie, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do that. If you don't do that, then our expectations aren't high enough. You should be doing that. That's the way you are. You're the Reverend Donald George Johnson. That's the way it works in and through you. Well, here's one I prepared a little bit earlier. Prue. There you go.
Good morning again. So I'm just going to share a couple of amazing things that God did when I went to New Zealand. The first one, it was when we arrived at the airport. We were checking our bags in and we were praying on the way down. We were praying for a safe flight and we spent time with the Lord, you know, in worship with the music in the car. So I felt like I was, you know, with God and everything was going well. Anyway, God brought to my attention this lady who was, I think she was in her 40s, and she had a 19...
Young.
Well, yes, so. A little bit older than me. And she had a 19-month-old daughter who we met later. So God drawed my attention to this woman, and at first I thought, oh, why is she travelling alone? Like, this was kind of, you know, I thought, oh, her husband must be around somewhere to be travelling with a little one. But he wasn't, and... that was the last I saw of her, but there was something that God put in my heart for her. And later on, our flight was delayed and the kids started playing, you know, as we're waiting to board, and her little one started copying our girls and getting involved, and I walked over and said, how are you going? And she started sharing with me that she was going through a really difficult time, that she was actually court-ordered and marshalled to go back to New Zealand because the father was in New Zealand. And so she started breaking down, telling me her story, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit just came upon me and I said, you know, God really loves you and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And I said, maybe Christmas time you can come and join us with our family. And so from there we ended up meeting her at the park on Boxing Day. And even ended up giving her a box of food, connecting her with the C3 Church in Queenstown. And since then, I've been in communication since we've got back. And I sent her over a Bible. And I've just felt like the love of God is just pouring into her heart. And a couple of amazing things happened to her. And this is why I know it was God. And this is only one story, Donnie. I've got two. Sorry. She said to me, that her TV in this little house that her ex had put her up in with the daughter, the TV was broken. And I said, oh, well, you better get him to come and fix it, you know, because little ones, that's all they do. They watch TV, so you can organise your house. Anyway, he came and fixed it. And as he left the house, she's taken a photo of the screen of the channel that he left it on. And it was a scripture that said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for, you know the rest. And I broke down in tears reading this message. And she said, and also all my stuff from the house he'd dumped in the corner in plastic bags. And I started rummaging through and I found my great-great-grandmother's Bible, whom I didn't even know I had brought it over. And it was an old Bible. And she said, I started reading it. So praise the Lord, like God wanted to know that lady, and he's still moving in her life. And you know, I didn't do anything. I was just there. I was available. I was with God, and I saw a need, and I stepped out. So that was one amazing thing. Here's the showstopper. We went for breakfast one morning, and the whole time we're there, you spend time with God when you can, how you can, because when family's there's 20 of them, it was busy, but we made time for God when we were alone. And this is the only reason why I know that God did what he did. We were at the breakfast bar, and it's kind of like a buffet, and there's this older lady, probably mid-70s, and she came up with two walking sticks up towards the breakfast bar, and she's looking kind of like she's really struggling. So immediately my heart's just gone, oh, can I help you? And she was so taken back. She was like, oh, no, I'm okay. And she had a very strong accent, and I was like, wow, where are you from? And she told me, I keep forgetting, Czechoslovakia. And I said, oh, very, very strong accent. I said, my mum and my grandma were born in Austria. I said, you know, and she goes, oh, we have an affinity with one another. And we just chatted, and I said, oh, well, you know, if you don't need my help, you know, it's okay. And I went back to my table. 2 seconds later, she's walking back very, very slowly and very timidly, like I might add. She looked like she's going to fall over. It was really not good. Anyway, she ends up sitting right at the table next to me, and she goes, oh, we are neighbours. And she starts sharing with me, and I just felt my heart tell her that God loves her. Tell her. So I went over and I said, you know, God really loves you. He really does. And she was like, oh, yes. She said, I'm a Catholic. I believe in God. I said, oh, thank you, God. You know, I'm thinking she's going to think I'm a fruitcake. No. No, she knew God and she loved God. And in that instant that she received and she said, yes, I believe, God also told me, pray for her. She has pain in the right side of her lower part of her back. So I said to her, her son and her two grandkids were sitting at the table, and I'm sort of crouching down talking to her like this. And I said, do you have pain in the lower right side of your back? And she looks at me, and she says to her son and her two grandkids, she goes, how does this lady know exactly where my pain is? And she said it twice. She said, how do you know? And I said, I don't know. I said, Jesus and I have a relationship, and I love him, and he tells me things. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she looked at me, and she looked at her son and her two grandchildren, and she looked back at me, and she goes, you have a gift. She goes, you need to go and pray for more people and talk to people and tell them, you know, things. And I said, for you now, I need to pray for you because I know God wants me to pray for you. And she goes, okay. And I said, do you mind if I lay hands on you? And she said, yes. And so I went around to the right side of her and I laid hands on her. And it was a simple prayer. It was just, Jesus, I thank you that you know this lady, that you love her and that you see her. And in Jesus' name, I ask for this healing that you've prompted me with. I ask for every cell in her body to be restored in Jesus' name. And she looked at me and I said, how does it feel? And she goes, I feel something. You know, she's looking at me strange. I said, well, get up and check. She goes, oh, let me finish my food first. So she sat there and I said, no worries. And I went back and I sat down. And I just kept praying. And Chris is praying at the table and my kids are praying at the table. I'm just like, whoa, what did God just do, you know? And she gets up and she grabs one of her walking sticks and she starts to walk towards the bathroom. And she's walking quicker. And I noticed this. I thought, I'm not going to say anything, God. I'm just going to keep glorifying your name and praising you, Father, for what you did in that place. And she came back and she taps me on the back of the chair. She goes, "It's so much better." 3 times she said to me, she kept walking, she said, "It is so much better." And I said to her, "Keep thanking her for that, because God did that. Thank God for that. Thank Jesus, because he did it." So that was a miracle, and I praise God and I thank him and I give him all the praise and glory. But when we do things like this, do you mind if I just... I know that people are asking for things. You're asking for healing. You're asking for a breakthrough in your life. And the only way that you're going to get it is if you go into your room and shut the door and seek his face and get filled with him. And this is daily. This is every day. It's the only way that we're going to walk in power and in truth. And that's what I've been asking for, the power of God to be upon my life. And now I'm starting to see it. So praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much, Prue. On holidays and just seeing God at work. It's everywhere, isn't it? On holidays. Letting God do what God wants to do in and through us. I have another quote here I'd just like to share with you. And this one comes back, and Prue talked about going into that quiet space, into that room. And Andrew Murray had some organization around this, and he talked about something that enables us to focus our attention. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I go into that private room and pray, I sometimes am all over the place, and it helps to be able to focus. And he says this, he says, focus. Maybe ask these number of questions. Where is God leading me today? What are the priorities that need to be addressed? Who needs my attention today? What do I have to learn? Where might be the landmines in today's journey? And what needs to change in me? So there's aspects of letting God doing things in his life. It talks about a guy called W.E. Sangster. Anyone heard of him? Yes, an amazing man of God. And he gives this testimony. He says, after focusing one day and asking himself these questions, he came to a point where he says this. He says, "I believe that God has been knocking loudly on the door of my heart of late. I believe it for these reasons. A, I have lost peace. Thoughts of great unrest and personal uncertainty have invaded my heart. B, I have lost joy. Great depressions have swept over me and life seems a burden. C, I have lost taste for my work. I have had to lash myself to it instead of going willingly to it gladly. D, despite encouragements of one sort or another, I feel a failure." That's from W.E. Sangster. And he just does this. And then he goes, such frankness put on paper helped him to see where he needed to go on track. So he repents and he prays and he sees that his life is changed and he's back on track. The Bible reading that we shared today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. And thank you to the two girls who read it for us. Bless you. I'm reading this little bit from N.T. Wright does a study on some of the prayers in the New Testament. It's a really good book to have a read of. And he says this, and this is the Bible reading first. It says, "I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." Isn't that a cool start to a prayer life? I never stop giving thanks to you and praying into this situation. "I pray that the God of King Jesus, our Lord and Father of glory, would give you in your spirit the gift of being wise." Who needs the gift of being wise? Yeah, the gift of being wise. This is a prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesians people. And I believe we can grab that prayer, this prayer for us today. Lord God Almighty, we pray that you would help us to be wise. Give it into our spirit of seeing things that people can't normally see. Prue just talked about that. "Because you are coming to know him and have the eyes of your innermost self opened up to God's light." We sang a song today. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart that I might be about and what God is doing." Who wants to see what God's doing and jump on board? I do. I don't want to do stuff. You know, I don't want to labor in vain. I don't want to build a house that's of no value. I want to build into what God's doing. I want my eyes opened and my heart to be a part of that. "Then you will know exactly what the hope is that goes with God's call. You will know the wealth of the glory of his inheritance of his holy people. And you will know the outstanding greatness of his power towards us who are loyal to him in faith, according to the working of his strength and power." That you will know. Did you hear that come through? you will know that you know that you know that you know. Not that you just believe, but that you know. And know comes by an experience. Knowing comes by experience. It comes by it being a part of it, experiencing. You don't just know of it in your head, but you know of it in your head and your heart. And it makes a difference. It changes. N.T. Wright says these words about this passage. He says, Paul doesn't imagine that all Christians will automatically be able to recognize the power of God. So he prays it into this situation. It will take, as it says in verse 17, a fresh gift of wisdom, of coming to see things that people don't normally see, and thus in turn will come about through knowing Jesus and having what Paul calls the eyes of our innermost self open to God's light. God has already begun a work in you powerfully, and as your loyalty and love indicates. So Paul can pray with confidence that God will now add to this increase in knowledge and wisdom, especially in showing them two things, the inheritance and the glory and the power of God, which will bring it all about in its proper time. That power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and which will transform the whole world and flood it with his glory, is in fact already available for us. Verse 19. This doesn't mean we can become conjurers or performing special tricks to impress people, but we can be aware that God works and achieves his will in and through our lives. Amen? Amen. I just want to finish with these things, just concentrating on those things. That passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through to 19, says that we might know him. Hands up if you want to know Jesus more. I do. I want to know Jesus more. I want to see him working in and through my life. I want to be able to get to that point where I can say Jesus as the mate, but also Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one who is my best friend, the lover of my soul. And to know exactly the hope of our calling, exactly what God's got for us, why he's working through us, to know the wealth of his glory and his power working in and through us, to know the outworking of his great work in and through us by the Holy Spirit. Four areas of knowing more and more of what God wants to do in our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you for your word to us today from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. I want to thank you, Lord God, that there is pictures here of what we looked at, that Andrew Murray, W.E. Sangster, other great men and women of God who have walked and talked across this world, turning to you, Lord God, being refreshed, having that time of prayer, just waiting upon you and allowing you to work in and through their lives. Whether like Sangster was feeling depressed and had enough of his work, which is interesting because his work was pretty amazing, and Andrew Murray, who made it his life history to make sure that everyone was aware that you can come to God and spend that time in God and be empowered and enabled to walk in the presence of God. Father, today I pray that we would know you more, that we would know you working through us. We would know, Lord God, the wealth of our inheritance in Christ, and we would know the power of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation in our lives and also into other people's lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.